Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And tonight, I got a special guest. I got my homie, the late, great A. Scott. Hey, you're not late. You're early. But I'm just saying the late, because, you know, folks been sleeping on you. They think you're gone, but you're still here.
True, man. Yeah, and I guess my dude,
okay. So, if y'all want to holler at me and Age, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435.
Hey, Smooth, if you mind if I actually promote that on Facebook to help you get to this player?
Yeah, you can actually do that.
Alright, so what's the number again, my guys?
It is 347-826-7435.
347-246.
You know I did text it to you, right?
I'm gonna use that, but I didn't like promote like that, like for the H5 of juice.
Yeah. Alright, so finish this. Social media. You want to get into the Smooth Drama group, you can ask to get in. Me or Mr. Lavender, he of the shiny bald head, will add you to the Smooth Drama group. And pretty much on Facebook, that is. And anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back and we can talk a taste on it. Also, in the chat room, smoothdrama.com, you can jump up in the chat room. It's anonymous. Say what you want to say. Be who you want to be. It's all good. If you whack, I don't care. We just gonna ignore you. And because I got my main man, Age, in the house, I need to tell y'all who Age is before we even get started. So one, Age has his own show, Duck Soup, which airs on Saturday night, and we'll get into the details there. Also, Age is OG. When we say OG, it's one of those things that sometimes gets misused. So Age Scott is the creator of the longest running hip hop group in comics, Wine and Phil. So, I mean, we talking what, 20, 25 years in the game? Something like that?
Been super long, dude, super long.
All right. Well, no. You don't get to talk yet, cause I ain't done bigging you up. I gotta big you up first before you can talk. After you gotta understand that. All right.
Just
let me finish. So, along with Juan and Phil, over 20 years in the game. Superhood, the comic. The man is prolific, gifted, unlimited. Art Universal. I took the R off, so you ain't get caught up in that. But yeah, Age been in the game a long time, giving you great art and hip hop all at the same time. As well as he is a music artist. From time to time, he might spit some fire at you. You might want to have your flamethrower when Age is around. Just in case. We don't want nobody with them third degree burns at the Age that left the building. So, without further ado, my main man, Age Scott, how you doing? So, now, the reason why we're doing this hip hop show because we was having a conversation, and not that I'm dissing you or anything, but we was having a philosophical hip hop battle.
Okay, wait. But yo, Spoon, before you get into it, you're absolutely repping my before you run it. For Love, her project is released this week. And we're all about, I just released my own girl's project, For Love, picking up T for Love, F-A-L-O-B-E.
You know I was going to give you a chance to say all that, right?
Well, I get it.
Okay. I was just gonna say I was gonna give you the chance to say all that, but you just want to slide up. You supposed to slide that in at the end, not the beginning. All right. I'm just saying. I'm gonna give you that. All right. So we was talking to KRS-One discography, and so. Our conversation was, if I'm not mistaken, because you were talking about his top three albums. I would say that maybe we want to just go through and say, what's his number one album in your eyes?
Well, okay. Well, if you want to get into this deep conversation with KRS-One,
I want to.
Just in first.
Okay.
Better than carry out the Big Daddy Kane and Rock Camp. Let's put that out there.
What out there?
That KRS-One is better than Big Daddy Kane and KRS-One.
Okay. He's better than Big Daddy Kane and Rakim.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you hear the sternness in my yes?
I heard you. You thumping your chest. Now, I'm sure the ladies will probably argue with you on that. And I'm sure there's some brothers in New York that may argue. But
I'm ready to go to my grave, but that was my God. It's whatever.
Hey, I'm with you though. I do believe KRS-One was better than Big Daddy Kane and Rakim, because the catalog alone. I mean, they can't match his catalog.
So can't.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. So. Off Top KRS-One is the and so if you want to, you have three albums, I mean, that's cool.
Okay, so you say KRS-One's the Don.
Yeah.
Now that's a whole, so first let's get into these albums.
Okay, we're not going to say in all of hip-hop, because hip-hop is so big now, it's like generational hip-hop for life. In that age group, in the 80s, you know, that era, the original, man, KRS-One, the Don, what?
Okay, so you're saying in the 80s and 90s, he's the Don.
The Don, easy.
Okay. All right. But
and also the template for hip-hop to follow. He's the first one to do a lot of things that everyone kind of emulated what he did.
I would say that he did a lot of things, but, you know, like Big Daddy Kane, he's the father to a lot of styles. And, of course, Rakim is the father to a lot of styles. So, I don't know. We ain't talking about the discography, right? We ain't talking about their catalog. We're just talking about their style, right? And so, if we're talking about the style, I would argue that there's probably more people like Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah, Kane was one of a kind too, seriously, like be so hard and so smooth at the same time. But I mean, yeah, he was an originator, definitely. So was Rakim. You know, those three were like the pivotal creators of some shit like that.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So when I think of artists, and so we getting past that point. We gotta. I'm gonna nail you down because you big up in KRS-One and I'm big up in KRS-One. So albums. What's your favorite KRS-One album and why?
Favorite KRS-One album and why is the second one.
My Philosophy?
My Philosophy, yes.
By any means necessary.
Yeah, I'm almost embarrassed because I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but I know the picture of the cover of my head.
Well, yeah, everybody remembers the picture. If you had the album, I mean, it's him like Malcolm X looking out the window.
Which was amazingly great and hardcore. And KRS-One being the first rapper to go on the album cover with hella guns and be considered a teacher in the same breath. What? With Criminal Mind, with all those guns. First rapper to have all those guns go from gangster rap to being considered a teacher? Come on, man.
Well, I'll say that
you got me here all night.
Yeah, we're here all night. It was hard, but at the same time, we started talking about how he said he wanted to go past that when Scott LaRock got killed, and so. You know, that's I think that was part of that vibe on by any means necessary. Now,
yep.
My favorite album, my favorite KRS-One album, is actually the one he did with Premier.
You think?
Yeah,
Return of the Boom Bap.
Return of the Boom Bap.
That was a good one. That was a solid one.
That was that album right there. Although it was because there's that one, but then I gotta go to the originator, the first Criminal Minded.
Yeah.
Criminal Minded was like it had never happened before, and yeah. So there's so much on that album that. I can't, because that album was fire. So, like, if we talk about Paid in Full, Criminal Minded, those were the two albums. And then we can say that the other album, of course, oh, my God, Public Enemy, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Those were the albums. They define that period, because you couldn't, there was no other album that could touch those three. None.
Okay.
I mean, if we're thinking about, so we had that. And those albums, they end the 80s. Because, you know, the 80s was the Run DMC era. And 89 was when the explosion happened. So when we went into the 90s, that whole, the Run DMC, all that stuff was gone. Fat Boys, all that, no more of that. It was a new era in hip-hop.
True. Absolutely right. And I just want you to know how smooth that I'm going live off of my Facebook page.
Okay.
If you want to meet, hey, everybody, I'm on Smooth Drummers. So if you guys want to listen or tune in or call, the number's on my page. 347. Something. It's on my page.
347-826-7435. I'm not going to say that I texted to you
I just put it on my page, though.
I got you. So so now, we talked about that. So classic hip-hop album. So if we breaking it down through eras, name your top five classic albums. Or no, you know what? I ain't even gonna say top five. Say who are some of your favorite artists and their classic albums.
You know, that is such a big question because I think cats like you and me, we have such a love for hip hop. It's weird, so it's like. You can go, like, pick five for different reasons.
Yep.
So, top five, I guess, that time, Criminal Minded, Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, which was an incredible sampling album, the dopest sampling album ever.
It was up there.
Me and Paul's Boutique. Paul's Boutique is from 3 Feet High Rising, a battle.
I would say that De La Soul, a little bit more lyrical than the Beastie Boys.
As a hip hop
critique, yes, Paul's Boutique musically was dope, but lyrically, I would argue against.
Yeah, but it was a different type of lyrics that come too.
Right. Because right.
That Run DMC back and forth thing.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. That era ends when It Takes a Nation, Paid in Full, and Criminal Mind comes out. Rap is elevated on another level. No longer would you do that. The simple stuff, you had to come with that hot fire or you didn't get no love. So I'm gonna ask you, hip hop albums, you can your classics. Give me some classics. Aside from the three that we named here.
We're finished. I got two. I said BDP.
Mm-hmm.
Boys. I said EPMD.
Okay.
Strictly Business.
Strictly Business, yes.
I said NWA. You know, from Straight Outta Compton.
Yep.
And I say MC Light.
Which MC Light?
Let me finish. One minute, brother. I got to get my mind right now.
All right.
This, 10% this, Top Billing. No. I forgot the name.
Top Billing is her brother, Audio 2.
Audio 2.
Milking.
Yeah. I know my shit.
I know you do.
I forgot the name of the album though. I'm feeling embarrassed right now.
So there was Paper Thin.
Yeah,
and 10%. You're right. And then that, well, that 10% is on her first album, and the second album is Eyes on This.
Yeah. And Paper Thin is on the first album too, bro.
Well, I know.
You gotta get. I damn don't want to Google this shit, but I got all my computers being used right now.
I got you.
Anyway, I'm sorry I didn't get the name of this together. I feel like I'm not prepared, but yeah.
No. You're good. Her first one was Light as a Rock.
What about your five, bro?
Oh. Shit, that one. So you named, if we're not talking about those three, right? So when we not talking about those three, I've got my other one, Eyes on This, MC Light. That album couldn't stop playing.
You know what? Eyes on This, wasn't that the second one?
That's the second one. Cha cha cha.
I just kind of thought. It feels like in that era, everyone's first album was to kind of like introduce them, but no one really got ill until their second album. Like Beastie Boys' second album was way better than the first.
You know who was like that? My other classic album.
Who else?
Oh, Step in the Arena, Gangstar.
Yo, my nigga, Chubb Rock. Chubb Rock's second album, way doper.
I loved his first album.
Yo, you know I loved his first album?
I loved his first album.
You know what I loved about Chubb Rock's second album, what I loved about it? It was like, it was so many tracks. It was like 18 tracks. But if you listen to him, he's rapping about everything under the sun, rapping about being on an airplane, rapping about heartbreak, like, the first album was dope. DJ Innovator was amazing, but it was only like eight tracks. You know what I'm saying? And it was dope for his intro. But but it was this second album that was just more complex and
the first one, I don't know. And the winner is?
Come on.
That one is dope. I still rock that now. That was Howie T produced one.
Yes.
So and that one had my one of my favorite underground cuts ever. Caught Up. I love that. That was my one. Now I know he did Chubb Rock the one. That's his second one, right? And then the third one was I Gotta Get Mine, Yo.
No. One was album number three.
Album number three was I Gotta Get Mine, Yo. That's the one with Yabba Dabba Doo.
And so the one was number four?
What?
Was it the one?
No, the one was number two.
Okay, so look.
Yeah, so that's the one with Treat 'Em Right.
DJ Innovator was number one, and the winner is number two.
And the winner, is his number one album. That's his first album.
So what about DJ Innovator? DJ Innovator was on a whole another album, bro. That was DJ Innovator was another album, bro. That was his first album.
No, and the winner is his first album because I know that album.
Brother, I don't
want to
pick your left shoe.
No, because this one you can't beat me in because I still listen to this. I don't need to Google it. The winner is that one. I know all the way through all the tracks. I know that one.
DJ Innovator was on and the winner is, bro.
No, I know it wasn't.
That was a whole other album.
I know. So maybe that was on the one, or I Gotta Get Mine, yo?
No, that was the whole other album, bro. Yo, let me help you on this one, bro. Just step this out. That was DJ Innovator is another album. That's an 8-song album. That's a cartoon drawn.
Oh, okay. All right. So the albums that I see, he has three. He's got six albums.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying the album that the song that you're talking about is probably on the one or I Gotta Get Mine, Yo.
Yeah.
You know.
Chubb Rock?
Chubb Rock was, I love Chubb Rock too. Now, so when I was talking, I had MC Light, right? I had MC Light and it was my favorite. It's one of my favorite classics, Eyes on This. So, you know, MC Light was just, that's the one that had Cappuccino. It had Shut the F Up. It had...
That album was so, and you know what, now that I think about it, it was like Chubb Rock's record. It was like hella songs on it. Hella shit.
Right. So, her second album, I think, had like, I want to say 13, 14 songs.
Yeah, it was hella.
Right.
Little Boy George, right?
No. That was Act Like You Know.
Yo, hold up. Anthony Gay, yo, if you want to join the chat room, there's a number on my wall. You can call in. I don't recommend anyone to join this chat room unless you really know your hip-hop. I mean, really know your shit. So it's good. You know who else was dope? EPMD was really dope because you know what I liked about them? They really put a lot of cats on. You know, Eric Sermon was also recording Steezo.
When he broke from them, now his album is dope. His album was dope, but it was, you know, he was trying to be on that Hammer stuff, and so that's why he kind of fell off.
You know, can I get a lot, you know, we talk about all these dudes, but I think a cat that doesn't get enough mention at all is Mantronix. Like, Mantronix is so raw.
No, Mantronix was, you want to say, he was like the father of the techno hip hop. You know, because it was breakdancing music.
Mantronic was doing the shit RZA was doing before RZA was doing it.
Yeah, he was a breakdancing music. You know, he had a lot of the he didn't use as much samples.
Nope, it's just all drum patterns was thick.
Right.
So
yeah.
Dope.
So yeah, no.
I think pure drum patterns at that time, Mantronic was the best to do it, right?
I don't think he had enough hits to say he was the best.
But I'm just saying remember when those albums came out, Music Madness, the shit that people were doing at that time, no one was fucking with them at that time. At that time, no one also did just drums and keyboard shit. No one was fucking with Mantronic at that time.
Well, you remember, he came at the end of the Run DMC era, and so once again, when those three classic albums came out, Takes a Nation, Paid in Full, and Criminal Minded, all that other stuff got thrown to the wayside.
Yep, so true.
So you start talking about, okay, hip hop goes in another direction, and then of course with the West Coast. And of course, we had Straight Outta Compton, and then Ice Cube comes out with his first album, and it blows you know, the West Coast blows up from there, right? Because you had Straight and Ice-T also. I mean, because Ice-T had the gold album that didn't get played on the radio. And yep. So we always 6 in the morning.
Yep.
So we always want to get. So then we start talking about, okay, underground classics. What underground classic songs that was played everywhere but never got to the radio? Name your ones, the ones that stand out to you.
Okay, maybe not specifically a song, but I would say some artists that were really sick that I always was like, damn, they're sick, but they get no play. But I bought the albums anyway. Def Jam was raw to me.
His album was okay.
I mean, you know, even if it wasn't complete, I just loved his lyrics.
Yeah.
I thought Def had rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought King T was really raw. He came out early. And he didn't get that West Coast wave like a lot of other cats did. Let me ask you, man.
Well, first, you talking to the dude that's got all King T's albums.
Well, my nigga, can we talk King T then? Let's talk about the Trifling album then, my nigga. Come on, let's do it.
Oh, Trifling album is the album that I used in my black music class as an example of underground hip-hop. I love King T, and of course the Alcoholics and Exhibit that came from him.
Yeah.
I thought that Trifling album, that Trifling album is definitely one of the best albums. Well, for me, it's his best album. I think by far. You know, I like his album, but the Trifling album, yeah, that's the one. For me.
You know what? It felt like to me that the Trifling album was King T getting right album. Like, you know, like he had some good albums, but he had to really focus and get his mind right to do the Trifling album. Yo, hold up. Sudani, yo, there's a number on my Facebook wall, a 347 number. And if you want to call and just join the conversation, anybody wants to call, it's posted on my Facebook wall. You can call and just join. But what up? What up, Johnny? People tune in, bro. They're fucking with it. And they're saying King T's album was a good album, too.
Yeah, well, there was the Trifling album, and then there was the first one, Act the Fool.
Oh, Act the Fool was dope.
So yeah. No, Rough Rhymes. My bad. Rough Rhymes. I have to be right. But I personally love the Trifling album, because that I thought that was one of those underground bangers, like Gangstar's Step in the Arena. Because Gangstar's first album, it was, for lack of a better word, like the Fugees' first album. Terrible. But, I mean, they had like two songs, but it's like, yeah, why am I listening to this? But then they come out with Step in the Arena. And at the time, I thought Step in the Arena was perfect. I thought, and I would, to this day, find a song that's like, yeah, I don't want to listen to that song on Step in the Arena. So,
okay. So what is a perfect album to you? And describe a perfect album to you. What's perfect to you?
So a perfect album is one of them albums where no matter what you're doing, you can play it and get hyped to that joint. So, for example, Step in the Arena, they had, I think it was like 18, 19 songs. And, I mean, you can just roll through it. And it's like, damn, that was on that album? Damn, that was Who's Gonna Take the Weight, Step in the Arena, Next Girl to X Girl, X Girl to Next Girl. I mean, there was a lot. Intelligent. I mean, he had so many songs on that album. That's one of them. To me, it's one of the best albums ever. I could do Step in the Arena every day, all day. And if you're a hip hop head and you just go on Amazon and do the sample on Step in the Arena and tell me that's not a banger. I stand by Step in the Arena.
You know,
as an underground classic.
Okay, first and foremost, yo, Smooth, I want to say thank you for having me, bro. This is really dope. And like, I can hear your passion with the albums. Like, we could spend a whole episode on one album. Like, oh my God, I love it. But these albums are so, there's so many dope albums. You got to kind of like speak on it. And like,
right.
You know.
Well, but see, that's why we got three segments, brother. So we going to get into it all, because, you know, I have you on here so we can talk hip-hop. But we're going to take a break here because we got to do some music. So this is a Pusha T, Suicide.
Yeah. I just ordered one, my nigga. Yeah.
I'm still up. Snow mover, blow harder than tuba. Designated shooters, turn weed the rulers. Condo in Atlanta, money counters like the NASDAQ. In that glass back, the motor is the ass crack. I'm still feeding divas like I feed the meter. Holy father to him, I ain't talking Jesus neither. Balance on a scale, I ain't a Libra either. I'm just a name and a number with the means to reach ya. Grim Reaper, him cheaper. Prince Army, MCM on gym sneakers. You knowin' it's him better, he been preaching. You motherfucker, this bloodsucker, you been leeching. Ben Baller, Ben Jacob, Ben Diller, Ben Rilla, pound sign, Ben Triller, all killer, no filler, Ben Iller, fraud nigga, you Zoolander, Benny Killer. When they come to shoot us, my niggas is ready to go. And they gettin' practice on bitches who breaking code. 3,500, just wanna give them a name. They backflippin' niggas that go for rappers the same. You don't know me, nigga, fuck out my way. Between a renter and a homeowner. Hip-hop, we can cover in a rolling stoner. Blue times a heist, nigga, or that bitch with Nona. Stop comparing me to rappers, cause they in their moment. Might have crossed the name brand every blue. But these brand names to a brand owner isn't new. Don't make the people, cause we share a bitch or two. She ain't the angel that you think you reincarnated. I built mine off bedtime and dope lines. You call steam off headlines and coastlines.
Young niggas cooking up with my rivals like the Bible don't burn, like these bullets don't spiral, like I can't see the scenes that you mirror in your idol. But a pawn's only purpose is completely suicidal. Ooh, suicide, it's a suicide. I'm just talking to the world like it's you and I. When it comes to shooters, my niggas is trained to go, and they getting practice on bitches who breaking codes. 35 bitches wanna give them a name. They backflipping niggas that go for rappers the same. You don't know me, nigga, fuck out my way.
Cash in, my sweater's a cash man. The roof is a translucent, it's nothing but glass there. The car is a concept, was next is my last year. My future is bright, hot, never collapse here. Top 5 list of who hot in the past year. 5 heartbeats and I'm feeling like Flash here. Cause what I captured is the beast unleashed in the pasture. The story of the sheep and the wolves are unmastered. 50 in the liquor, unwrapped and unpacked. Powder rides and it falls like Sebastian. Selfish, telling me Superman crafted over Bottega Veneta. High tops, unfastened. S550 drop top is unimaginable. So my hand dropped and then he unattached it. Practice it, make it brick, break down, break dance, crab walk, backspin, tanner in my black pants.
When it comes to shooters, my niggas is trained to go, and they getting practice on bitches who breaking code. 3500 just wanna give them a name. They backflipping niggas that go for rappers the same. You don't know me, nigga, fuck out my way.
Together you got smooth drama, smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-word. That was Pusha T, Suicide. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now I'm here with my main man, A. Scott, in the house. Duck Soup in the building. And so, we talking about classics. We talking about underground classics because, you know, the underground don't get enough love. So, it's like I'm playing that Pusha T from his album. It's just classic fire. But fire don't get no love on the radio. And so I feel like it's our job as people who love hip hop to promote the underground. Cause
yo, I got an album.
You got an album? Hit it.
So this album is amazing, and it's like hip hop food for me. And the album is This Gets Free by Dead Press.
Okay, that's a hot one.
That's my shit, right?
Now, I'm gonna go into the first time I fell in love with Wild Freestyling. And this is the album, Red Man.
Oh man, come on.
That one right there had me. I was like, yeah.
You know what? Red Man first album. It was one of those albums that you stared at the stereo, just listened to it back to back, like, goddamn, I really remember listening to the album for days in back to back, like, that's all I listened to for, like, hella days, bro, one album.
Now, here's the thing, though. So, I mean, we know now they were a platinum act, but we didn't know it then, because they was for us, and they still felt like they was for us. Tribe Called Quest. Tribe Called Quest sold 3 million albums, and it didn't get talked about. Think about that for a second. They sold 3, and it was like, they was underground, but they wasn't. See, because that's the height of hip-hop where you didn't need to have videos with the women half-naked. You just needed hot music, and you was good. Don't get me wrong, though. Any videos with women half naked?
Okay,
I'm for it.
I gotta give a nod to Two Live Crew. How horny as nice as they want to be, because you know what I thought was sick about Two Live Crew was, of course, the sexual jokes and rhymes and all, but like to make a whole album on this one, like basically one topic, and do it in different ways and make it creative, like the sample. I thought that was cool. I actually thought it was like pretty creative on how they could like different songs about sex.
I'm just gonna move on from Two Live Crew, and I'm gonna give a shout out to Grateful Stranger in the Smooth Drama chat room at smoothdrama.com. They said death certificate, Ice Cube.
Oh,
that was fire. That was fire.
Okay, brothers, let's establish something though. I thought we would stay more underground because keep it real. I could have said Redman. I'm the biggest Redman fan. Like, no one's bigger than a Redman fan.
Redman was underground. He wasn't platinum.
Yeah, it seemed like it was underground, but it was still boosted by EPMD. So it was like, it wasn't like dirt, like it was underground, but it was like boosted by EPMD underground. It wasn't like, you know, okay. What I'm saying is
right. Right, but okay. So I got one for you.
Certificate, but that shit was fire. Of course, five star, but it wasn't like really super underground.
No, Ice Cube. Now Ice Cube was never underground, but Ice Cube was still with us.
See, you know what I'm saying? I feel you guys. I don't want to be critical, guys. I don't want to start no fights.
No, ain't no fight. I'm gonna say I got a few underground albums that touch my heart. Alcoholics, 21 and Over.
That was good. That was really good.
Chino XL. I told you so.
I got one for you. Boss, Deeper.
She's okay for me.
You know, the production was kind of nasty, though.
Yeah, she, like I said, she was good.
Right, she liked, you know.
Yeah.
Who else? Steve, like I said, Steve-O's first album was sick. I used to like that.
It was okay, but see, we talking about was it a classic, though?
Okay.
Was it a classic, though? Was it the banger? So I got one. I'm going to go way back. Jungle Brothers, Done by the Forces of Nature.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, it's dope. It's like, you know what it is? It's like Grand Poopa's first album. It's dope, but it's not a classic.
Okay. I don't know, because I just remember we used to play that, and it used to get played everywhere we were.
No, so, you know what? What it is you were such a... And you made sure it was played everywhere. Like when
I was
taking that Grand Poopa.
Well, okay, so the Grand Poopa, his first album was okay. But he was better than the first Brand Nubians. Now the second Brand Nubians in God We Trust, that's a classic.
Okay, here we go. Which one is better, the first or second Brand Nubian?
Second. It's not...
Wow.
Oh, so for me, that second Brand Nubian in God We Trust. Man. Woo! You had Olaju Akbar steady bootlegging. What else?
You know what I felt like from the first one to the second one? The first one felt like there was more like friendly singles.
Well, and they weren't together. They didn't do, they did what? Two songs together on the first album where they all were on the same track.
But the second one, it felt like they were like more like, we're here to like kick these devil's asses.
But I guarantee I steal your hoe when I'm on the microphone doing my show. Every time Lord Jamal want to kick intellectual. Girls still want to kick sexual. They pulled me off stage hoping that we can engage in some sexual. Come on. I'm just saying. I can quote that album was fire. To me. It was one of them, you didn't have to fast forward nothing. Because I'm always about, because back in them days, we had the tape. And then you had to fast forward the tape. That told me you was a classic. Because I can listen to this. We can pump this. I got one.
What's up?
Black Sheep. A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
That was dope. That was amazing. That was a good one. That was really dope. Okay, wait. It should be a classic in everyone, but is it? That's a good
question. Hey, well, so I got one underground classic.
Wait, bro. Can we discuss that Black Sheep for a minute? Because that one's a really confusing one.
Let's go.
It's a really dope album. Everything's dope about it. It got play. But is it like a classic?
So when we define classics, once again, how many songs did you like, yeah, I don't want to listen to this?
Black Sheep. Okay, let's talk about. We're talking about Black Sheep's first album. That shit was amazing.
Yeah, that's the only album. The second one was, I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay, so let's establish that they have the first amazing.
Yeah.
So it was the first album with Engine Number 9. You know, yep. Everyone.
Right. That's the radio song, right? But
yes.
But in the meantime, have you any pull? Strobe Light, Honey. Are you mad? Then, of course, there's The Choice Is Yours, Similac Child.
That shit was dope.
Flavor of the Month, La Menage, Give Me the Finger, Hoes We Know, Go to Hell, Pass the 40, The Choice Is Yours, Revise, and Yes.
So yes. Was Black Sheep's first album cast? Was that considered a classic, Five Mike?
In my eyes, because a classic is an album that you can't stop playing.
You know, if you're going to give, I would give Black Sheep's first album out of Five Mike's 4.5,
five.
All right. What would you give?
I can give him that 4.5.
What would you give? Oh, 4.5?
Yeah, I can give him that 4.5.
So 4.5 is still classic. You're going to get the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything? Yeah. I'm just trying to find out the rules. I'm trying to find out how to do this. Because we all love this super much, so we could do this. But we just got to establish some groundwork. And if you guys want to chime in and call in on the conversation, there's a 347 number on my Facebook wall. Call it, Mr.
All right. So I was going to say, because Grateful Stranger is talking about the different albums, Run DMC, Dr. Dre, The Chronic. Those were underground. Those sold over 10 million. So we can't. That's not underground.
But nigga, but if people say that, that's the same. I say, okay, and you're absolutely right. But we just got to lay the ground root down that this is a hip-hop show for some serious hip-hop niggas. Like, there's a lot of albums that are not Ice Cube, a lot of albums that are not Ren DMC that need to be prop, like Mantronix. Like, I'm talking to Mantronix on the drumming
scale. Who's arguing against Mantronix?
No, I'm not saying we fight this, brother. All I'm saying is, if we're gonna give niggas their props, this put it on with the extra slice of cheese. That's all. You know what, bro?
But I'm lactose, though.
I wish there was an award show for underground hip hop. Like, we give awards for like that album that nobody spoke about, like Mantronix for the drum patterns, and go dumb.
Okay. So. So that no, hey, no, mm-mm, no, no. We do not speak on them dudes. No. 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 Not gonna happen. No. They get no love here.
Why is that?
Because they the ass rap. No, stop that shit.
Talk about it.
Hey, well, it was whack. I thought they were whack. I'm out. I'm putting it on the table. Afro
I want to know why they're whack.
Because I actually bought the album.
I did too.
And was like, I don't get it.
This shit was corny. It was corny.
That's all. To me, I just didn't get it. I'm like, really?
I just felt like they were trying to capitalize the Rip MC thing and Jam Master Jay at the time.
Yeah. Yep, and it didn't work out. Thank goodness. Oh, so my other underground classic, the one that actually started it all, that don't get no love, Grip It on that other level. Ghetto Boy.
Ghetto Boy is wrong. Did you like that remake? Okay, the first one, and then they got re-released under Def American, like a Def Jam subsidiary, the black cover. Did you like when they re-released it?
No, I'm good with the original. So the original was we going to play some ball and we going to be ready to do your ass when we get to the court. That was my album for that. So
you know what? Does he really need to be so well respected and revered on the internet when he came into the game talking about Project Hoes? Forehead Holes, that shit was so funny. When that album came out, oh my God. Forehead Holes, what you see? Dave? I see some forehead holes.
Okay, yeah. I tried to miss all that.
I'm sorry. I like this.
Now, hold on.
I was at that time. We're 18, 19 at that time.
No, I know. So I got my other...
Yo, can I throw one in the mix, brother, please?
Go throw it in.
X-Clan.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Before we do the X-Clan, I want to ask the Ghetto Boy's question. Ghetto Boy, My Mom Playing Tricks on Me album, or the first album, which album was better? Or even the third album, what was that one with the...
With Big Mike.
Hold up. Ghetto Boy's was kind of sick on how they like switched up the squad every couple albums.
Well, no,
like,
they switched up the squad because Willie D would have killed Bushwick Bill if they stayed in the same place.
That album was
okay, but that one was like Brand Nubian's first album where they was a bunch of singles. They did a couple songs together, but the rest of them was they singles, right?
Just do his part.
Yeah. So.
The street thing.
Yeah. So I got an underground for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna go down south with it.
Can we do X-Clan real quick?
Okay. Let's do X-Clan.
X-Clan was wrong.
Yeah.
A little deeper than Public Enemy, I think.
What?
I thought they were more controversial than Public Enemy.
Okay. So what makes them more controversial? See, because remember, they broke up Public Enemy. They didn't have to break up X-Clan.
Public Enemy was getting too big.
You're right. Because they were Professor Griff, they were controversial. X-Clan, what was controversial about X-Clan?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
No, you're right. I'm not mad.
I mean, because you could say X-Clan was like a cousin or a niece or nephew to Public Enemy, right?
Yeah. I get that.
Right. So, I mean, they were cool. They did their first album, and then after that, it's like okay.
But wasn't Brand Nubian kind of like a cousin of PE and X-Clan, kinda?
Brand Nubian came out during that time. And remember, Brand Nubian went gold. So they were of themselves. They was in the tribe called Quest De La Soul mixture. Yeah, I wouldn't say that they was, I mean, because you could say Lord Jamar was like Public Enemy in his rhyme, but Sabbat X, not so much.
See, like, 1%, like, I felt like Brand Nubian was political, but they were also, like, murdering, like, killing devils. Public Enemy was, okay. Public Enemy was political.
Okay, yeah, how to kill a radio consultant.
Yeah, we want
to kill
devils.
Oh, okay. So who was the radio consultant? Was he a devil? By the time I get to Arizona?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
by the time I get there, you better have handled that shit or what?
You know what? We were all killing devils. We were just different type of devils. All
right. My Uzi weigh a ton?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying. I can spit them off.
I feel that. I can really feel. I mean, you know, but they're all like spitting the same vein, just different names. But they're all kind of saying the same message.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of them. I mean, because we know Brand Nubian was 5%ers, so they were a little bit different.
Yeah, a little. And so was X-Fam, right?
Yeah, but the X Clan started attacking, you know, they were part of that next crew that wanted to attack the established rappers. Remember, they were talking about how KRS-One wasn't conscious, da 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 da. You know, they were the dudes that took to that next level. It's like, man, y'all not on KRS-One's level. You should never diss him, especially when we're talking about consciousness.
You know, what if Flavor Flav would have never did For the Flavor of Love?
He probably would have cracked out somewhere.
Like, I don't know. I think that Public Enemy is nice, but I feel like Flavor Flav dilutes them a little. I don't know.
I would disagree. Flavor Flav was the hype man that added to the group, right? Because you can have Chuck D and Professor Griff and the F1Ws, and then Flavor Flav added that. So when we think about I Ain't No Joke, there's Rakim, and it's one of the hottest songs ever. But then Flavor Flav dancing. You gonna tell me that didn't make that video?
Nah, you know what, that made the video. But the thing is, for me, is as a hip hop fanatic, once I heard that Flavor Flav was actually smoking crack while rapping about not smoking a crack, I was just like, this nigga's a clown. It's like finding out Santa Claus is real. Like, really? Oh man, I just lost so much respect for this dude.
Right, but as you know, nobody's perfect, and so
do that.
Yeah,
KRS-One is better.
but saying KRS-One is better than Flavor Flav is not really saying much.
No, I'm saying KRS-One is better than Public Enemy.
Okay.
Set the template for Public Enemy to be a group.
No, he didn't. They was out before him.
Seriously, come on.
They were out before him. You forget Public Enemy had their first album. Public Enemy number one.
Mind you this, brother.
That came out first.
Before Criminal Minded?
Yes. It did.
It's cool.
Remember they had their, not, no, remember, Nate Takes the Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back is their second album.
Second one. And you know,
And that came out the same, that came out around the same time as Paid in Full and Criminal Minded, right?
Just a heads up, as we move on from this conversation, the definitive United song, Stop the Violence, Self-Destruction, is produced, created, and organized by BDP, Karis One, which is the dopest song ever. So we can continue on.
What's the dopest song ever?
Stop the Violence, Self-Destruction. And that's Karis One production and organizing the whole shit. So
okay, so you saying Stop the Violence is the dopest song ever? Is better than Fight the Power?
Just the fact that
it's better than Fight the Power.
Oh come on, man!
I mean, you just said that, right?
I'm explaining why this Fight the Power is still a self-contained song. It's nothing for one person in a group to shine. No, but Karis One got everyone on the track, got the enemies at that time, Marley Marl and Red Alert on the screen. Man, come on. Nothing is bigger than self-destruction. So, it's good. Like, of course it's dope to do you. When you're doing yourself, it's like, it's just, of course you're going to be incredible. But can you be that artist to unite other people?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it takes a nation of millions to hold us back. I think pretty much every artist in the industry was in the, I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. They said they wanted suckers.
That's a nice gesture, having your rapping partners in the jail cell. That's a good look. No, I'm about to unite niggas and have niggas express themselves.
Okay.
Pause. And get niggas to move forward.
Okay, so the dude that has countless diss records against multiple artists, and Chuck D, who was the mentor to pretty much all the upcoming rappers from Tupac on, you're saying that KRS-One, who was a diss rapper, and Chuck D, who was a, hey, brother, let me help you, you're saying that one was bringing people together more than others, or was that the record company?
Let's just also say some of this. While you're throwing out names, let's give the nod to other cats that actually made all them other cats beside Karis One look good. Because Marley Marl. Marley Marl is the reason why all the niggas look good, except for Chuck D. Because Chuck D did his own thing with his own production.
Well, he had the Bomb Squad.
Yeah, but Kane.
I mean, do you have an Ice Cube album without the Bomb Squad?
No.
Okay, so the first album is the Bomb Squad.
Yes.
Okay, so I think they were pretty good. America's Most Wanted was pretty good.
Ice Cube is incredible. First album is incredible. Still dope, not doper than Edutainment, but doper still.
Oh, what? Oh, no, stop that. You know what? I'm going to go on break. We're going to go on break. We got to go on break on that one. We're going to go on break, and then we're gonna talk. So we're going to go. This is West Coast.
West Coast?
We're going to represent the West. And we're going to represent the Bay Area. It's E-40. My shit bang.
Shit throb. I'm a motherfucking beast. I'm a motherfucking hog. Pull up with the slump, or should I say black truck sounding like I got an alligator in the back. Bang, better than melted ice. Rallying hockey spikes, burning rubber at every light. Me mugging like fuck your life. I be hustling all day and night, pushing all night and day, pushing and whipping, yeah. Getting my guapalette, so leap on my goo to my pay. Then I get in my way, from the A to LA to the A, this nigga connected. Worldwide nigga, this picture how you be headed. You ain't gotta like me, but you gotta respect. Woke up real early in the morning and put one in the air. Got so high, thought about running for mayor. Slapped myself to make sure I was still there. Shit showered and shaved, but then I slapped my head. Today I'm trying to get laid and put a pounding on the money. If I'm your hip would act like a world star hip hop buddy. Try to get rich in this collection, stack my money. You can tell that I'm a D-boy by my baller tummy. Sometimes I dress uppity, sometimes I dress gummy. Sometimes I dress high class, sometimes I dress bummy. If it ain't about no cash, you can miss, Well, the time you can find the best one, tip, hustle, tip, trying to get my decimal up. Anybody that try to stop me, I suggest that they duck. Cause when I get the bucket, I can assure you it's nothing clear. My arsenal game is this, but the rest are all kind of rest. Even if you wear a chest protection, the trauma plate won't work. Cause I'm gonna aim at your helmet. I'm gonna aim at your shirt. A lot of these bitch ass niggas should be wearing a skirt. With a box of Motrin, that's a maxi pad and they curse. People talking and biting pillows. Acting like the grip. A whole bunch of that sucker shit, a bunch of popsicles. I shouldn't have been a jerk cause I'm stubborn as a bull. I'm a different type of dude and I stick to the rule. I'm a real nigga, best believe it. I live it and I breathe it. I tell it like it is and I call it high. My partner used to be sharp, but now he don't think it. What do you think he mean? I can't believe, man, he disappointed me. I'm devastated, man. He lost 2 points with me. I'm standing outside of my crib with some gym shorts and a hoodie. Talking to my head on the celly, smoking a Philly. Sipping on a fifth of that oil cognac. But hanging walls of them bricks. He got caught with a key of candy. If he didn't go to jail by now, he'd probably be dead. So he's daddy in there with his uncle, his dad's a brother.
Calling number is 347-826-7435. And I'm joined by my main man, A. Scott.
My cousin is tuned in listening. My cousin Bernice did this thing. Hi, Bernice. Hi, cuzzo.
Okay. What's up, cuzzo?
And my dude Raymond in Chicago is tuned in right now, too. What up, Chi-Town in the house, my dude?
All right. So should he be mad at you because you was talking about... You was talking about edutainment was better than It Takes a Nation of Millions or America's Most Wanted. Is that what you said? You said some heresy in there.
Easy. So look, I have no problem standing on my conviction that KRS-One is the Don of hip hop because
No one's arguing that. But you, right. When you talk about an album, you said edutainment, the album.
Edutainment. I mean, I think edutainment. But remember, I'm such a KRS-One fan that he can't do. But edutainment is raw. And I get it. Like Ice Cube's first album was deep, but KRS-One, at that time, he's already put the lay down the blueprint to be political and a political thug. So I don't know. Ice Cube's album is raw, but I feel like KRS-One already done it. You've done it all.
Okay, but that wasn't what we were arguing. You were arguing that Edutainment, the album. Now, I'll say the Love's Gonna Get You, the song, I could put that song up against anything.
Is Edutainment album better than Strictly Ice Cube First Hit? Yeah, to me, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree.
Hey, that's cool. We can do that all night. Yeah. Brother, I also noticed that E-40 was just knocking, but in your show, if we're going to give nods to underground artists that has not really got their shine, Father Dom, to me, is raw as fuck.
Okay.
Father Dom has never really gotten the shine. Father Dom is, like, to me, he's like the Grand Poobah of Oakland.
Okay. So you just gave him his love.
Yeah, shout out to Father Dom. Spice One was wrong.
I got a dude for you. A dude that I understood why he didn't blow up, but didn't understand why he didn't blow up. Roz Kaz.
Roz, yeah.
So, I mean, one, Roz Kaz made the most political black song ever about politics, whatnot, and history. Nature of a threat. I don't think you're gonna get a song anywhere, anytime, as far as hip hop goes, harder than that one. Cause he go hard in the paint historically. I haven't seen anybody come close to that.
On that same note, Scory X is my cousin just writes in the chat, like Scory X, One of a State. Woo-hoo. That one was like an Oakland staple because it not just knocked it in the trunk, but it was some knowledge. Like, it was, it's a fine line to make an album that knocks and has knowledge. Like, some albums get too preachy. They don't sound good.
Yep.
That
would be Edutainment.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, and I love, you talk to a dude that love KRS-One. Like,
yeah.
I love KRS-One. My son would tell you, hey, playing
wait.
A lot of KRS-One.
Excuse me, brother. I'm sorry. I've not played my trump card yet.
What's your trump card?
Trump card is that KRS-One produces all of his first three albums by himself.
No, he didn't. Hold up, no. Scott LaRock did those first two. Stop it.
Scott LaRock was dead at that time.
He was halfway done with By Any Means Necessary when he got popped.
And then when he got popped, who do you think finished the board? And when even with Scott LaRock on the side, who do you think was? It was Scott LaRock and KRS-One. It was Scott LaRock and KRS-One producing his own shit, my nigga.
Okay, but what does that have to do with the album?
I'm going to reiterate.
Okay.
Now,
what are you reiterating?
Let me shut the party down with this one.
I'm listening.
Once you can name the great Karis, that Big Daddy Kane, Nas, whoever you, Coogee Rap, whatever you want to name, any great that produced themselves, made their own beat.
Oh, wait, no. He had his brother, Kenny Parker, so stop that. Stop that. He wasn't on the... Oh, okay.
Here we go.
I got you. I got you. I'm a trump you, your trump card, because you want to go there.
I just finished my statement, please.
Finish.
The moment you can get one of your great rappers to give me their discography of multiple hits that they produced themselves, I will respect them on KRS-One's level.
Okay.
His three albums.
I got you.
That was KRS-One on the beat. That was KRS-One on production.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you know this is like Menace to Society. You know you fucked up, right?
Holler.
You know you fucked up, right?
Holler.
There's a guy called Q-Tip.
Q-Tip, okay. What about?
Yeah, Q-Tip. Tribe Called Quest. If we're talking about a great rapper, and a great producer, I don't think it's close. I don't think it's close if we talking about the rap and the producing. Q-Tip? Huh?
Okay.
Huh?
Okay, now. Oh,
huh?
Okay, now, oh, okay. You want me to, could I, you want me to jump in that one?
Oh, please, please do. Please
okay,
do.
Okay, so Q-Tip produces the Tribe Called Quest as a group. He makes multiple
Who else was rap? Come on, stop that like there was multiple rappers. Stop it. Because you know, Fight Dog was there like half the time.
Hold up. No, hold up. So, like you said, he produced for his group and other people and makes bangers. Once he produces his own album, that shit goes nowhere, a couple of hits. But his group.
What?
Q-Tip solo? Tell me about his solo.
Woo! That.
Oh, wait.
His solo didn't do well?
You tell me.
I think he went platinum.
Yo, man, whatever, bro. You know what? It's so good.
You do know that he produced all the Tribe Called Quest stuff, right?
Yeah. Wait. He did.
Okay. And so.
That was Karis One produced himself.
No, he didn't. When we talk about Blueprint and Edutainment, Kenny Parker, you know the brother, Kenny Parker?
Yes.
So, yeah, and those albums, they didn't do quite as well. And I love KRS-One, which is why the next album, Return of the Boom Bap, that was DJ Premier.
That was Premier.
Okay, all right, and then the next one after that, KRS-One.
Yo, hold up.
DJ Premier.
My homie writes in the chat room, Q-Tip Survivor thing. Okay, yeah, and? That was cool.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, Q-Tip did a Survivor thing, but I'm gonna go by Q-Tip's discography. It's quite large.
Paris One produces discography. His first three solos to the neck.
Once again, that was Scott LaRock.
Oh my God! You know it's
Scott LaRock. So you gonna say Scott LaRock didn't produce Criminal Minded? Are you gonna say that?
Scott LaRock was to KRS-One as KRS-One is Bobby Knob. Scott LaRock is on the side. They're like working on it together.
Oh my goodness! Okay, all right. So this is what we doing now. We changing history.
Whatever, bro.
I didn't think you was gonna go establishment and change the history.
Yo, I love you, bro. You really don't want to spend your whole show tonight to discussing this one album. This is called draw and come back with 10 minutes. Let's move on.
All right. So now I got you. We're gonna move on. Underrated MCs. We're gonna end it. Underrated MCs.
Okay. Thank you for moving on to my guy. Right.
Moving on.
You start. Underrated to you.
So
go ahead, you start it off.
I'm a spitters guy. So I've loved Chino XL.
Chino is raw.
I've loved Roscoe's and My biggest, most underrated MC that has done nothing but spit hot fire, Immortal Technique.
Fire.
I'll put Third World up as an album against anything. Anything.
Okay. I got a question that's going to throw fire in the booth. Is Eminem in your top five?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Is it in your top 10 spitters?
Nope.
Ooh. In your top 15?
I have to look.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's so funny.
Now, why do I say that? Because Eminem, yes. Eminem, he got flavor. But we know why he sells tens and millions of albums. Because is Eminem better than Royce da 5'9"? Or is he a different complexion? Because I would say he's Royce the 5'9" if he's black.
Ooh. So, my cousin, are you saying Eminem is in your top five? Like, please, as I read from your chat, my chat, please, what are you saying? Eminem is in your top 10, top five, or is it what? Like, just tell me, or is he in your top 100? I don't know.
Like I said, he's a good rapper.
He's a good rapper. I think Eminem he's technically a good rapper, but you still got to say something that resonates to the listener. And if hip-hop is a colored music, black people really don't kill their moms and dump them in the trunks like that. Like,
I'm just saying. If I'm gonna murder my baby mama, I'm cool.
Yeah, and like, I'm gonna tell you, bro, it's funny, I was talking about this the other day, like, I always made it a thing to listen to an Eminem album, but I never had replay value. Like, I would buy it, and then I would listen to it, and then take it right back to Rasputin's and turn it in within 7 days and keep my credit. I just wanted to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay. But I haven't heard an album where I was like, man, I got to pump this. He's had some songs. I give him. He's had some songs. But once again, is he Royce the 5'9" if he's black? That's my question. Because he didn't have no club hits, at least not for me. And I didn't see, he had nothing where I was like, man, we got to pop this shit. We got to play this.
You know, because we're from the Bay Area, we really do have a certain thing we're looking for in our music. We know we need our music to slap. And like, here's a question for you. Is Too Short in your top 10?
Nope.
I think he's in my top 10 for something else. Like, top 10 Bay Area rappers. Like,
okay.
I think that top 10, when you say top 10, you got to be really specific. Top 10 what? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So,
look, we know what Too Short talking about, and he had a few songs, but as far as somebody that I'm just pumping constantly,
I feel like, you know, at this point, we've heard so much for Short that will he really wow us with another one? Probably not, but I'll put him in top 10 Bay Area because he's the originator. He's the template. He's the OG to it all. Like, he showed all of us how to do it. Everyone in the Bay did how to do it. So in top 10, probably number one out here for me, Bay Area. Top 10? I don't even know who's after, but top 10 Bay Area, Too Short's number one.
Okay. Well, that, you know. Yeah. Okay.
You know, what about Saphir? Saphir was raw.
Yeah. They were okay. But like I said, those are all cats that came and went. They didn't leave a mark. Like talking about it.
Yo, my God, you know what it is? I keep forgetting, not forgetting, but you're originally from the South, my nigga, like, right? Like Louisiana, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So Mystical. So for us, New Orleans, Mystical, Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yo, hold up. I know Lil Wayne. And Mystical, that's such a big conversation to you that we should do it next. But Short for me is a big fucking deal because I grew up on Too Short. Like, I was like 75 girls Too Short. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
KPOO Too Short. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. My homie in San Diego, G Money, he loved Too Short.
Yeah.
I got nothing against Short, but it's not my favorite. I got some songs in my rotation that's got Too Short, but as far as the albums, I mean, it's like DMX It's like, you know, certain cats, like, they had the great albums, but can you listen to it all the way through? Because they're, like, they're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
That was all. I'm, you know, short.
Okay.
What's my favorite word? We know.
What about the Bay Area, the South conversation? What do you think about Master P and the whole No Limits movement? What do you think about
Master P is a great businessman.
Is that all?
I his music? No. No, okay. I didn't listen to his music. We love Mystical. We didn't love Master P. Mystical was our dude in New Orleans.
You know what? Mystical reminded me like of a Busta Rhymes from the South.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so New Orleans, it's a different place. So coming from New Orleans, we just want to hear the passion in the music. We don't care where your music come from, New York, Cali, West Coast, East Coast, whatever coast. We don't give a shit about none of that because we don't care. That stuff means nothing to us. Can we dance to that shit? Is it pumping? That's all we care about.
Yo, bro, as you mentioned DMX, I want to give a quick nod to DMX and his passion and the whole shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, DMX, we lost Shot G, we lost MF Doom.
Sean Price is crazy.
Right. Well, Sean Price died years ago. He died years ago. We talking about just this year?
I gotta say something about Sean Price.
Of course.
Sean Price, lyrically, top 7 to me, just technical.
He tops who?
He's a top 7 lyrically. Like, he's really raw rhyming. Mm. Never put...
That sounds like a whole other show, H. That sounds like a whole other show. Because I love Sean Price. I've got a lot of Sean Price. I don't know if I can say top 10 lyrically. I'm going to say, because when I think top 10, I'm talking about you can span the gamut. Now, because we got like 2 minutes left. So, H, tell the people, they want to holler at you, they want to fuck with you. Where can they catch H. Scott?
You almost got described on the Sean Price line, but if you want to follow me, it's Agent H got on Instagram and Agent H got on Facebook. And Karis Run is the dopest ever.
Yes, and if you follow him on Instagram or whatever, he might rip his shirt off. He, you know, he's been trying to work out, and so.
And one more nod to T for Love, TIFALOVE. You know, I'm out. She's dope. Check for it. Thanks.
Okay, where are they going to find that, though?
You can check her on YouTube, T for Love, and follow her on Instagram and Facebook. She's dropping her new shit. It's dope. So, good night to everybody. My cousin love you.
You spitting love on the show. Hey, so I'm going to see you this weekend. We're gonna hang out. And man, it was great. It was great hollering at you. And so I'm definitely gonna come on Duck Soup. So y'all remember, Duck Soup is on Saturdays at what time?
8 p.m. on Duck Soup at YouTube. DUKKSOOP at YouTube. DUKKSOOP.
All right. And so with that. For my main man, A. Scott, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. Man, it was great having you on the show, sir. And
hey, bro.
Definitely we're going to have to do this again. That was fun.
Good night, bro.
All right. And with that, that's our show. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
together you got the smooth drummer.